There on the screen, we are in Acts chapter 20, and we are going to be looking at verses 28 through 38. Again, we are in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 38, and the title of tonight's message is Paul's farewell message, and we're going to be looking at four lessons from Paul's farewell. So again, we're going to be looking at four lessons from Paul's farewell. So what is the setting here that's taking place? Like where is this taking place? I want to put up a picture there on the screen. If you see there right in the middle, you see my Miletus is right in the middle there. So that's where Paul is at, and he tells these elders from the Ephesian church, hey guys, come and meet me here as I'm heading to Jerusalem because I want to share some stuff with you. So that Miletus area today, that's what we know as modern day Turkey, just for you guys to understand where this area is at. And again, Paul is asking the elders of the church of Ephesus, hey guys, meet me here. I want to talk to you guys. I want to pour into you guys. And I want to give you some warnings. So tonight, again, we're going to be looking at Paul, his farewell message, and we can pull some lessons out of it. So if you have your Bible app, we are going to start off with verses 28 through 30. Again, Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30. That says here, so again, this is Paul speaking. So therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So again, Paul, what we're seeing here is that Paul, he's telling these Ephesian, these elders, these leaders, guys, take responsibility here. Here in the text it says, take heed. What does that mean, take heed? It means to watch over their own spiritual condition and to take care of the church. So he's like, hey guys, take heed here. Like watch over your condition. Like where are you at? Like first of all, yes, you're entrusted with this flock, but like where are you at with God? Right? Like if you're a leader, you're entrusted with a group of people, you're at work, like, you know, people are not going to follow you if you're not genuine. They're not going to see you as an authority if you're like, well, the guy doesn't even take his walk serious. Like, why would I even, you know, if I'm part of the flock, like, why would I want to be led by this shepherd, right? Or if I don't feel safe, that he's not going to protect me. Like, why would I? So this is what Paul's telling. He says, take heed. Like, guys, you've been entrusted with this flock. So make sure that, first of all, you check yourself in the mirror. How are you doing with your walk? And then you can properly take care of the church. So as church leaders, again, we have to constantly be on guard. We have to be paying close attention to, and as believers, to where is our walk with God, right? Because we're all called to examine our heart, right? The Lord knows our desires. He knows our heart. But, you know, it's those questions that we have to ask ourselves, like, are we living a life for Christ? Like, are we really, like, are we modeling Christ's love towards people? And can other people see that? Like, when people are around you, are you modeling Christ's love? Are you encouraging people? Or are you coming in, like, all beat up and, like, oh, poor me, or just tired and just have no vibrant in life? Like, no. How are we modeling Christ's love towards other, right? Especially in our marriages too, right? How many married people here? We got a couple married people, right? All right, we have to ask ourselves, hey, is our marriage reflecting the marriage of how God intended it to be? Like, can you look at your marriage and be like, man, you know what? I have a marriage that inspires people. I have a marriage that is centered on God, that people can say, like, wow, like, you know, are people acknowledging your marriage? And you're like, man, it's all God. It's all, we have a God-centered marriage. You can give all the glory to God, because the enemy, if you don't know, if you haven't seen it already, I mean, the enemy is just constantly going around and hitting marriages like no other. That is one of his biggest priorities, is to, right? We know the Bible says that he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, he's definitely going after our marriages. So we have to be guarded up. And again, we have to make sure that we're living a faithful life, right? We're walking right right before the Lord, and he could say, well done, my good and faithful servant, like, you know. And are we living a genuine Christian life? All right, because once you've gone through that self-examination, especially if you are a leader, an elder in church, right, you can't really watch over a flock if your personal relationship with God is not there, right? I mean, how are people going to follow you if you're not being that example of Christ? So we have, we have, as the leaders, elders, we have to model out that love of Christ in us. And when we are not, it is very, very damaging, right? It's very damaging, especially when you see church leaders who fall to adultery or some very dark sin. You lose instant credibility. I mean, your ministry is pretty much done from there, right? I mean, you have that one shot, especially as a pastor. Like, you have that one shot, and if you fall to adultery, I mean, you're done. You're done. And I know for me, like, I've there's some pastors that I've looked up to, or that I would watch on the internet, and then you see, like, a couple years down later, you see something, some sin that popped up, and you're like, dang, like, wow, like, and it just how damaging that is, right? And as pastors, and again, if we're going to be entrusted with the flock, we always have to have that at the forefront of our eyes, like, where are we at with God, right? Look in the mirror, like, are we living a genuine Christian life? Like, do we live a repented life? Are the fruits of the Spirit coming out of us, right? Like, people are seeing that. The flock is seeing that. And again, this is what Paul is telling these people. It's like, guys, like, you have to make sure that you're strong in the Lord, because I'm going to be taking off soon, and I'm going to give you some warnings right now what's going to happen. And Paul's making it very clear here. He's telling them, again, to stay guarded up. Stay guarded up. Always keep that self-examination of your heart with God daily. All right? The other part that we see here in the text is that ultimately here, the Holy Spirit is the one who appoints people into leadership within the church, right? It's a divine calling, right? We know that the church was bought at a great price, right? It was redeemed through Jesus' death on the cross, right? So we are very, very valuable to God, right? He paid for us with his own blood. And God loves his flock, right? He loves all of us. He loves his church. He wants his flock to be protected. And look at what we're going to see here in verse 29. What is he going to protect us from? What does it say there in verse 29? Who are we? Who is Paul saying that we should be protected from? Acts 20, and we're looking at verses 28 to 38. From the wolves. All right, it says there, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. All right? So Paul already knows what's going to happen. He already knows what's going to happen after he leaves, right? He is certain. He He already knows about the spiritual warfare that is going to happen within the Ephesian church and then just in all churches, right? Because no church is going to be perfect. I want to bring up a picture there on the slide, right? He's warning us that there is going to be wolves in sheep's clothing, right? He's warning them that, hey, guys, there's going to be false teachers. There's going to be dangerous influences. People here who are going to be harmful, they come here with harmful intentions. They come here to divide. They come here to pull you into sin. Look at the word that he uses here in he's saying that they're going to be like what? Like savages. Paul uses the word savages. He says, after my departure, savage wolves. So when you think of the word savage, I mean, think of it's that wolf that's just like it's just ready to attack. And so these people are going to come in, these savage wolves are going to come in with this aggressiveness. Again, they're here to destroy. They don't want to show any mercy to God's people. Their purpose is clearly to harm the flock, to lead them astray. Hey, come over here. Let's go grab some drinks. Or, hey, let's go to the club. Hey, let's go to the gym so we can check out some women. Or just whatever that might be, like that's the type of, they're just coming in aggressively, seeing who they can pull. They're not here to spread the gospel. And Paul's like, guys, be very, very careful. Because again, they're coming in to harm. They don't care about the gospel. They want to create division. They want to exploit people within the church. Look in verse 30. That he even tells them that, hey, even people within the church might want to cause some trouble. Right? Again, because no church is perfect. We were just talking about that last night at the Men's Forge group. We had 19 men there, and I would say about 7 of the men there do not plug into a church. And that was one of the topics we talked about, and there was different opinions, different discussions, and what I had shared with the guys, I was like, guys, if there's anybody here who had got hurt by somebody, I just want to say that I'm sorry. No church is perfect, but you have, God made it very clear that we are supposed to, we have to be in fellowship with one another. And that's what the group of the Forge is, so that we can come in as men to lift each other up. And that was one of the topics, and a couple of responses was that somebody had hurt them, and it's just like, God, like, there's no such thing as a perfect church, right? These doors are open for all of us. We're all broken, right? We all need Jesus. We're all desperate for Jesus. But again, Paul's saying, hey, guys, be careful, because there is going to be people here that are going to try to disrupt, right? And paint this picture of don't go to church. There's just hypocrisy there. Or there's no love or whatever. Like this, the enemy's going to use whatever he can to create division. And he's saying, guys, be very cautious about these savage wolves. Praise God that here at Calvary Chapel we have a great pastor, Pastor Pete back there, right? If you've gotten to know him and his heart, he is an amazing shepherd. Like just. Not even by his, just look at his actions. He always wants to make sure that his flock is protected, and I've learned so much from him. And he wants to make sure that we come here to receive the word of God and not be in danger, not have wolves among us. And I'll tell you right now that if anything like that, those incidents happen, they take them out. They take them out, because we don't want those wolves in here, again, pulling people astray. And we have many other leaders here too. Steve, Ray, Andy, Jesus, I mean, Dale. You got so many others with that same shepherd heart that want to protect the flock. We are very blessed to be in this church, guys. But we have to be again, we always got to be very watchful, right? We can't just get complacent. We have to keep our ears open. You know, it's just to hear, is anybody like trying to pull people away? Is there like false doctrines being taught or some weird doctrines? Like, we have to be very watchful for that. Also from people here that come in here for self-gain. All right, I got a personal story about that, about myself and self-gain. This was probably around 2006. I was very young at that time. I had just started my first business. It was an MLM network marketing company. I know you guys have heard of like Amway, Herbalife, like those type of businesses. Well, you've probably been invited to one of the presentations, or somebody shared a milkshake or something, or you know, vitamin. And you know, there's some good companies, great products that will help you in your health. But there is a side to that industry where it's very, very just based on greed, self-gain at the center of it. Some of these companies have a culture where it's like, hey, we're going to promote like all this, you know, getting the luxury car, the watches with the diamonds. They just really hype it up, and they try to sell you this dream. Well, I was in a business, and I'm really excited. I'm a new Christian, and I'm attending the Rock Church in San Diego. And I remember one time I walked into a Sunday service, and again, I'm a new Christian. And I'm walking through the main doors to get into the sanctuary. I mean, it's a massive church. I don't know, 15,000 plus people. I'm walking in, and I just have this wolf-like mentality, this self-gain mentality. I'm just like, wow, look at all these prospects for my business. I literally said that in my mind. I was like, wow, look at how many people I can recruit here. Talk about having that wolf mentality, right? I wasn't there really. Yeah, I was. I wanted to serve the Lord, but I was still halfway in, one foot in, one foot out. I still had that savage wolf mindset of like, wow, look at all these people that I can recruit and sell my service to. So I definitely came in with the wrong heart. It was a wrong motive to come into church, and I'm really very blessed that God had convicted me of that sin and set me straight. And made it very clear. And I think it was when I heard that message of Jesus coming into the temple and flipping the tables. He's like, you've turned into a den of thieves. When I think it was when I heard that, I was just like, ooh, that was me right there. And I'm coming in, seeing who I can sell, and instead of coming in. It's going to come in like a brother in Christ and be like, how can I pray for you? How can I serve you? No, I was coming in to serve myself. And this leads us to the first lesson that we're going to learn from Paul's farewell here. And that's number one, is that he warns us against false teaching and spiritual wolves. Again, number one is that he warns us against false teaching and spiritual wolves. Right, these type of wolves are all over our communities. They're all around us. They want to draw us away from God. They want to draw us into sin. Right, if you start seeing any type of this wolf-like stuff, please bring it to an attention of a leader or an elder. If you start seeing somebody who's trying to cause division, you know, leading people to sin, like, please, again, bring it to the attention of an elder, of a pastor, because that is their job, is to be shepherds, to deal with that, to protect the flock, right? And when you bring it to our attention, make sure that you, from the back, you're hollering, "Ow!" You know, there's a wolf over here. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That would be very weird. But yes, bring it to our attention. Like, bring it to, like, hey, guys, you know what? You know, private, right? Bring it to the elders, because the elders are the ones that, again, they have to protect us as flock. So let's continue our verse by verse study here, and we're going to look at verses 31 through 32, so we can see what else Paul has to tell us here. Again, it's Acts 20, verses 31 through 32. It says here, "Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears, so that now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Paul is telling us, guys, keep telling the elders, keep watchful watch for these possible dangers. Be spiritually alert. Right? For 3 years, Paul, he was in Ephesus. He was teaching, he was discipling, he was building up the church there. And he had such a great passion, and he was just working tirelessly, just protecting the flock from any spiritual warfare. I mean, he had this immense love for the flock, and he was very concerned over them, right? That's part of what a church leader should do, is that you should have that type of love for the flock and want to protect the flock. Look at what it says there in verse 32, right? We see that he's starting to give his farewell message, right? He has already warned these Ephesian leaders, but ultimately he knows that he can entrust them in God's care, right? Paul's putting his faith here in God, not his ability. Yes, he's going to encourage them, he's going to exhort them, but he knows that when he's gone, he's like, no, God's got them. God's going to take care of them. And Paul was known for creating, you know, going around cities and building churches. He was known for creating leaders, right? That's what an amazing teacher, a leader does, right? Is they go and they know how to lift people up. They know how to create more leaders. And when you do that, you're like, okay, this person's already been built up. He's been equipped. He's been discipled. You can clearly see a calling on his life. I trust that God has this person, and he's going to continue to do his ministry, right? Or protect the flock. That's what Paul's mindset here. He's like, guys, I'm leaving, but God's going to be with you. You have the Holy Spirit. So again, he's not putting his faith on his abilities. He knows who God is. He knows that God's going to continue the work there. Right, he knows that the message of the gospel is what's going to keep them safe, right? Because as a leader, right, you or an elder, you never want to make it about yourself. You don't want people to lift you up on the pedestal. You want to give all the glory back to God and be like, it was praise God, brother. You know, you always want them to. That's so, you know, I like how Andy says on the Sundays, like, when you come here to Calvary Chapel, we point you back to God. We don't point them to Pastor Pete, Ray, or children. No, we point people back to the Word of God. And that is how you know that this is a sound doctrine, that is it. It's a healthy church, not when they're glorifying the pastor, but when they're glorifying God. Amen? And what are two things that we see here in the middle of verse 32? What are two things that we see that God's going to give us here? And it says there, number one is that it says here, I commend you to God to the word of his grace, which is able to what? What does it say there? Build you up, first thing we're going to get, and it says here, and give you what? An inheritance, number two, right? And so number one is the gospel of God is going to, it's going to build us up. It's going to provide that spiritual growth, the encouragement, the guidance for all of us, right? The more we plug into God, the more that we are going to spiritually grow, the more we're going to get encouraged, the more we're going to get guided. Right? Does that make sense? Do you guys believe that about God, right? That he can build you up, that he can encourage you, that he can give you guidance, right? Maybe you come here tonight and you just feel spiritually weak, life circumstances have just taken a toll on you, that's okay. Hey, we all go through that, right? But we have to go to God with those requests and say, Lord, I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling tired physically. I'm feeling tired spiritually. I'm constantly arguing with my wife. My marriage isn't thriving. I'm struggling with this particular sin. And Paul here is reminding us that God is the one who builds us up. So that's awesome that you guys are here on a Wednesday night. You guys can be doing anything else, but you're here on a Wednesday night because you want to be built up by the Word of God. You want to be encouraged because life is very difficult. You've already not know that, right? And I like how Pastor Pete, you know, always say that, like, you know, he'll tell us, like, hey, you know, God's not just here only on a Sunday for 30 minutes. Like, when you go out there, like, is God there with you, right? In your daily devotions, at your workplace, right? God has to be everything, the priority, number. I don't even like to say number one, because God is above being on the list. God has to be the center of everything, the center of our finances, the center of our marriage, the center of our kids, how we raise our kids. God has to be the center of everything. Right? And God is, again, the one who's going to build us up. The other thing that we get here, lastly, the second part here, is that it says that we will receive what? An inheritance. You guys know what that inheritance is? What is he talking about when he says here inheritance? Is he talking about properties, money, Lamborghinis? What is he talking about? What inheritance? Yes, you get free hot dogs at the end. Whoever said that? Yes, he is talking about the inheritance of eternal life, that those who have accepted Christ, those who are born again, our inheritance is we will have eternal life. For you note takers, this brings up our second lesson from Paul. And that is number two, is that we are to commit to God and His Word. Again, number two is that we are to commit to God and His Word. God is the only one who can sustain us. All right, when we put our foundation in Christ, we can be rest assured that we will grow in our spiritual walk. Right? Through His Word is where we can find rest. We can know about His promises, about His prophecies. We talk a lot about that, about His prophecies, about how that's God's signature in the Bible. I love how Pastor Pete says that. It's through His prophecies that have been already fulfilled and still continue to be fulfilled. That's why it's very important that we stay rooted up in His Word, because this is what gives us guidance. This is what gives us wisdom, comfort. You know, when you might have anxiety or depression or something, like, well, what does the Word of God say about that? Like, He says, don't be anxious for anything, or like I want to do this, or I want to go this direction. Okay, well, Lord, direct my step. Like He's given us His Word right here. It's such a beautiful thing. And the more that we study the Scripture, right, the more that we get to see God, right? How many of you guys want to see more of God in your life, right? Everyone, right? It's a no-brainer, right? Well, just keep getting in His Word, right? Be in the general will of God, right? Praying, coming to church, being in fellowship, serving. Those are all things that are the general will of God. The more that we stay in His general will of God, the more that we get to see Him, and then He starts giving you His specific will, the calling on your life. But if you just come in to be a seat warmer, well, you know, you have your eternal inheritance, but what about here? What about here on earth? You need to ask yourself, like, Lord, I want to be used by you powerfully. I want to see people saved, and I want to baptize them. I want to disciple them. Like, You know, just like Paul, how he had such a huge heart for this flock. You need to ask yourself, like, you know, do I have that same heart, you know, for the flock? Do I have that same hunger that I want to see people come to salvation? And if not, well, pray to God to give you that heart. Pray to God to give you that hunger. And if you need help with that, you know, hey, we're here to pray for you. That's why we're here. We're here to encourage you. And I know I've talked about this a couple times, but I got to keep repeating it because in September, again, in September, we're looking to launch that school of ministry. And I've committed to it. So I already told you guys, so we're going to do this. But, you know, so if you feel stuck or you're like, man, I want to get closer to God. I want to grow hungry. You know, that's what we're here as a church to help equip you so you can do more of God's work. So stay tuned for that as we get closer. So it's going to be in September. But let's continue our verse-by-verse study here. And we're going to look at verses 33 to 35. And we're going to see how Paul is going to talk about money. He's going to talk about giving. But before we go there, speaking about money, I want to bring up a picture there on the slide. And when it comes to money and giving and all that, this reminds me of a story of this pastor named Pastor Larry. And Pastor Larry, he just loved talking about money on the pulpit. I mean, he just loved getting offerings and just talking about money. And one day, Pastor Larry, right, he takes this offering, and he's counting it. He's quickly counting it, and he's like, oh, okay. And he tells the church, okay, church, I have some good news, and I have some bad news today. The good news is that in this room, we have enough money to pay for all our bills for the week. And Pastor Larry's like, okay, well, the bad news is that most of the money is still in your wallets and purses. So guys, you know what? We're going to take another offering. I'm glad you guys liked that one. A little quick joke there, but seriously, Paul here, he's going to start talking about money and giving. And as we look here in verses 33 to 35, right, Paul's saying here in 33, he says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you guys have heard that one before? It's a good one, huh? It is more blessed to give than receive. He's sharing with these Ephesian leaders, he's sharing with them that, hey guys, like you've seen how I've operated here. I've been selfless in the ministry here. Right? He wants to make sure that there's no accusations that he's there for self-gain, right? He proved it to himself. He's like, hey, guys, you know that I was not here to exhort you or to take your money. No, I was here because I love you guys. Like, that's it. I want you guys to just experience God. I'm not here to take advantage of you, right? Because Paul, he was sold out for God. He had a complete detachment from greed, right? His primary focus was on serving God and others. And he wants to make it very clear that, hey guys, my goals have always been spiritual goals. They were never financial. Again, I wasn't here to try to create wealth or like off of you guys. No, I genuinely had a heart and I want you guys to experience God. So Paul's telling them that. It's like, hey, you were with me. You guys saw that, right? You saw that I built tents to support my own ministry here, right? I wasn't relying on others, right? And he's telling them this. And his blessing, his business was a blessing for him because he was able to self-fund his ministry, right? He wasn't relying on others. And then it also says there that he was not just with his business been able to take care of his needs, but he was able to take care of others' needs, which you get to see his generous heart. That he was able to take care of his needs, but he's like, you know what? I have this excess money from. I've been selling the tents. People have been buying. Business is good. Great. I'm going to, you know, obviously ministry has needs. Got bills to pay. But with this extra, I'm going to also help others. And that's what we see here in the text. And in verse 35, right? Again, he's pointing to his personal life, right? He's showing these Ephesian elders that he's like he's working hard, right? He's working hard in his tent making business. But at the same time, he's also generous, right? He's telling these elders that, hey guys, it's your moral and spiritual duty to care for others, right? This last part that he's reminding the elders, he's telling them, hey guys, always keep your mind on Jesus' teaching, especially around giving, right? He's telling them it is more blessed to give than receive, right? Because the act of giving, when we're giving, it's greater, it's way much greater than receiving. Because why? Because it reflects God's heart, right? What for us, what did God give us? His son, right? Look at there on the screen. The John 3:16, right? One of the most famous verses. Many football players and sports players, right? They have that. That would have that. Tim Tebow, right? He had that John 3:16. What did it say there? For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? God is a giver, and so should we. Right? This leads us to our third lesson tonight. And number three is be a cheerful giver. Number three is be a cheerful giver. Right? Receiving, when we receive, receiving is not bad. But giving brings such a greater joy, and we receive so much more blessings because it expresses the selflessness. It prioritizes others above our needs when we're giving, and that's what Jesus did, right? He served others. He gave sacrificially, and he cared for the weak, those who were outcasted. He was constantly just giving. Right, he didn't come here to serve himself. He came here to give, and ultimately he gave his life for us. Let's finish off our verse by verse study here with verses 36 through 38. Again, this is Paul. What's happening with Paul? And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he had spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Well, Paul's finishing up his farewell message here. He has just poured out his heart to these leaders, right? He's leaving them with instructions. He's leaving them with warnings about the wolves. He's encouraging them, guys, continue to shepherd God's flock faithfully. Watch over them, right? And what we see here is that we see that he kneels down. He humbles himself. He kneels down, and what does he do? Does he give him money? Does he give him a tent? What does he say there? The last verse. No, we just say that he prays for them. He prays for the community. And these people, they're so moved by Paul's love for them that they start to cry. They know they're not going to see him anymore. They know he's going to be leaving, and they're just bawling. And it says that they kiss him there on the neck. It says that's a sign of a strong, like, spiritual and emotional bond that they had with Paul. They look at 38 there, the last verse is that, right, they were very sad. They were very sad that they weren't going to see Paul anymore. And as a final act of support here, the elders, they walk Paul to the ship. You know, they want to give him a good farewell message, good farewell bye. But I love how Paul here, his heart, right, that he, before he takes off, he prays for them. Right? And this leads us to our fourth final lesson from tonight's study. Number four is that be that Christian that is always praying for people. Number four, again, be that Christian that is always praying for people. Right? We'll have an opportunity to pray for one another here soon after the service. But look at what it says here on the screen, Matthew 21:13. All right? It says there, it is written, he said to them, this is Jesus, right? It is written, my house will be called a house of what? House of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. Right? And not just in this church, you know, don't just come into the church and pray here, but also outside the walls, right? Are we praying for people outside just the church? Do we pray for others, right? Because we all have difficulties. We have praise reports, but as believers, we are called to pray all the time. Right? We need to be, as we're out there, we need to be, you know, whatever Costco or something, we run into somebody, or just a random, you know, I like how Pastor Pete shares different stories. Like, you know, we were at Olive Garden here, and I asked, hey, can we just pray for you? And I like hearing those stories. You know, just to model that, like to go and just talk to people, like, can I just pray for you right now? Like, you know, and also too, like don't be that Christian that you hear like this potential prayer request or someone like say, hey, you know what, such and such person just passed away. Do you mind praying for me or whatever? And you're like, oh yeah, I'll definitely keep you in prayer. No, like do it right there on the spot. Right, because then we'll forget. Life's busy, right? We don't want to go home and then you know, at night and we do the Mimi time prayer. You guys know what that is? You guys know what a Mimi time prayer is? Who uses that verbiage anyway at your home? It's time to go Mimi. Right? I don't know if that's a Hispanic thing or if it's just is it a Hispanic thing, Irene? See, it's Mimi time. I don't know. Right. But a Mimi time prayer is when you're just about to go to bed and you're like, oh, Lord, thank you for today. I love you. In Jesus' name. A Mimi time prayer. No. That's why it's important that we do that, like, right when we're praying for people, like, right there on the spot. If somebody asks us to pray for them, like, right there, brother, let me pray for you right now. Even if you're at Walmart, you're at Costco, right there on the spot, pray for them. Again, we're not praying to sound the trumpets or look at us. No. It's a genuine, loving prayer. Hey, let me pray for you right now, brother. You know. Again, as a Christian, we have to be always praying for people, right? I love that before the service, right? You'll see like Sandy and her team in there, and they're praying, and they're at the end of service, right? We have Dale, we have Ray. Here on Wednesday nights, right, we get in a small group. We're like, this is a house of prayer. We always have to stay prayed up because the enemy is just looking to see who he can devour, right? So a recap of tonight's study, guys. Again, we saw that Paul, he's warning these Ephesian leaders against this false teaching, right? He calls them the savage wolves, right? He's telling guys, be very watchful because I'm going to be taking off and there's going to be wolves that are going to try to create division and pull the flock away. So just be very careful. All right. We also saw that again, we are to commit to God and His Word. Right. This is how we get our encouragement. This is where we get everything. Everything. Wisdom, direction, how to be a God-centered husband, wife, everything is in how to manage our finances, how to be good stewards of our finances. We are to commit to God and His Word, right? And as God has given us the abilities, right, to incomes, businesses, whatever, right, God calls us to be cheerful givers, right? Or did he say that? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And lastly, again, like I said, right, we are supposed to be those Christians that are always praying, right? The Bible says that, hey, pray without ceasing, like without ceasing meaning like it's just throughout the day you're in the zone with God. You're praying as much as possible, even if you think it could be like the dumbest decision. Well, should I go here? Should I go to Jack in the Box or McDonald's? Like, just start training your brain. Like, Lord, where do you want me to go? Because maybe he wanted you to go to McDonald's because he had a divine appointment right there. But no, you decide to go get a Jumbo Jack instead, right? So it's always, you just never know, but it's getting in that mindset of asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, lead me today, lead my feet, direct my steps, direct my thoughts, my words, everything. And the more that we plug in, the more that we ask God, he shows up. And you start seeing, again, those divine appointments. You start seeing doors that opened up that you're like, there's no way that could have opened up on my own strength. Like, that was all God. Right, so again, we have to be those Christians that are always praying for people. So lastly, as we end here, guys, for those of you who are watching online and here, if you're here as a guest for the very first time, we ask our guests a very important question, and that question is, are you born again? Right, because Jesus made it very clear. He made it very clear. He says, I tell you the truth that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Right? Because there is a heaven and there is a hell. Right? But Jesus died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. Right? That we talked about that, right? About the inheritance, that for those who believe, that those who have repented and asked for Jesus to come into their heart, right, that we have an inheritance waiting for us of eternal life, right? It's a free gift. Jesus will never push himself onto you. It's a free gift of salvation that is given to you, but given by grace. You can't earn it. It's a free gift, but you have to come to it. You have to repent. The Bible says that if you repent, you ask for forgiveness, and you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, that you will have eternal life. So if you've never done that, for the very first time, let us know so that we can pray for you and let you know about the decision that you're stepping into. And if you're watching online, you know, leave us a comment on social media, Facebook or YouTube. Just say, I want to be born again, so we can get back with you and pray for you and then help you, you know, start your discipleship walk with God. So let's finish off here in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this evening, Lord. Thank you that we are in your house tonight to receive your word, Father God. And again, thank you for giving us wisdom through your word. Thank you that we can learn so much from the disciples. And as we're here in Acts, Lord, thank you for just using Paul's life so powerfully that we can learn so much about you. And just your grace and your mercy and everything, Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we thank you again for your good word. Father God, just protect us against any spiritual warfare, against any wolves who might want to distract us from the gospel, Lord. And Father God, just again, protect this church, Lord. And If there's any wolves in here, Father God, that they come to repentance, Lord, and that they get convicted, just like how I was when I went into that rock church and I got convicted, Lord. Thank you for that, Heavenly Father, for working on my heart, Lord. And Lord, we just again we
we lay our needs and our burdens, anything that might be that we might be holding on to, Lord, we just lay it at your feet. Carry our burdens, Heavenly Father. And again, thank you for just even giving us another day today. And I just lift up the flock, just our family here, Father God, who are here in person, and those who are watching online, those who couldn't make it. Just watch over us, Heavenly Father, and continue to give us this hunger for your word, and just protect us from the system out there of the world, Father God, who is going to try to tempt us and distract us with so many things. So, Heavenly Father, thank you again for dying on the cross for us, for giving us eternal life. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.